We're just going all in on this 200 backhand today. Another interesting tip that helps me is kind of sinking into the ball or leaning in to the ball with my right shoulder when I have the 200 backhand. So I'll think of it, and if I'm having trouble, I kind of think of it like this. It helps keep me, it helps bring me back to having a great 200 backhand, which I do. Sounded a little bit cocky, but it is my favorite shot. If I've got anything, I've got this, right? So I will like to lean into it a little bit instead of kind of pulling off of it and just doing this, especially when I'm making some mistakes. I will lean in with my right shoulder. So I'll almost kind of do this and think of it as like you're almost trying to hit the ball with your right shoulder. You're trying to, like, you know, lean in with your right shoulder. You don't want to be collapsing your body and bending downward like this, but that's a good way to get your momentum and body weight moving forward into the shot. Look how we made it this far. Okay, we're back with another episode of my show. We're going to talk about a couple of things. We're going to talk about this past tournament a little bit. We're going to talk about the upcoming tournament, and we're going to talk about the two-handed backhand. So we're just going to get into it. We just had a tournament in Virginia Beach. Got to the quarterfinals of mixed doubles, and then Christian and I in men's doubles, we lost to Riley Newman and Rafa Hewitt. They played great. And it's just a couple things that I noticed in Virginia Beach. I think it seems like the pros are driving even more thirds. I think driving the ball is getting even more and more common. And it's something where it's not even necessarily something that you're trying to win the point with, but you're just seeing it more and more frequently at the pro level. So definitely just be aware of how often people are driving, the different types of reasons that people would be driving. So for example, I think, you know, for me, like, I like to drive my third pretty low and keep it kind of pretty safe. I'm not trying to hit it so hard, but instead I'm just trying to set myself up for a fifth shot drop. I actually think that it makes it easier for me to drop that next one. And there's a couple different reasons why you wouldn't even really think of it. But for me, like, hitting a third shot drop right after the serve is a little tougher, especially if my partner just served. Just think about it this way. Like, you know, let's say you just got the ball back. Now your partner's serving, they serve, your opponent hits a return, and now it's your turn to hit a third shot, and you haven't actually hit a ball in a solid minute. You know, you're a little cold, so to speak. But for me, it's a lot easier to just hit a drive that's low, get myself engaged into the point, and then drop the ball in, because dropping the ball is generally a little more difficult than driving. I think that's pretty much understood across the board. Obviously, you have a lot more space to drive the ball into. You can drive the ball into the entire court. With a drop, you're just trying to get into that kitchen. And if you miss the drop a little deep or high, it's a little tougher than with a drive where, as long as you keep it in, you're going to get another chance usually. So yeah, I think just driving the ball, getting yourself engaged into the point right off the bat, and then dropping the next one, I think it also gets you into a good mentality, kind of gets you into that aggressive mentality. So yeah, seeing that very often. And that's pretty much the main thing that I'm seeing there. And now this upcoming weekend, I'm super, super excited because I'm playing with Catherine Parento in mixed doubles, who is, you know, obviously consensus top two, top three mixed doubles player. She's playing super, super well. She's using the 007. She's hitting the ball even harder. And we're just so, so excited about that partnership. So we'll see. There was a crazy match, actually, that she was involved in. Her and Christian played against Riley Newman and Jackie Kawamoto. And I would encourage you guys to watch this one if you haven't watched it yet. So I'm not going to spoil it, but let's just say, I can't even tell you what happened. It was one of the best matches ever, and there was a lot of match points saved. I think 10 match points saved. Just one of the craziest matches that I've ever seen. So I'm not going to spoil it, but it's Catherine and Christian Alshon versus Riley and Jackie. So check that one out. And, that's pretty much it. Not going to talk too much about the past tournament. I'm just kind of feel like I should have done better. So we'll just move on. I honestly have just as much fun teaching anyway with all these tip videos. I actually want to do a quick shout out not really a shout out. This is more, you know, this you want to hear. It's funny when I say shout out, people are like, oh, whatever, you know, shout it out. But this is actually something that you might want to hear. So we've decided, my team, my coaching account team, we've decided to start doing 2 tip videos a day, every single day, for the rest of my life, until I'm done with pickleball, until I'm retired, and you have no, you know, until you block me on Instagram because I start doing badminton or some other sport, until I've moved on. We're doing 2 tip videos a day, every single day, on my coaching Instagram account. So it's going to be a lot of content. Yesterday we went to the gym, which also has pickleball courts, and that's where we recorded it. We did, I think, something like 60 videos, just tip video after tip video after tip video. So we are just going to be throwing out a wealth of knowledge, just an abundance of content. We are going to be putting on, it's just the content, the Instagram account is James Ignatowicz Coaching. So that's, if you're not following it, then check it out if you want it. So just James Ignatowicz Coaching, that's the Instagram account. 2 tip videos a day, every single day. We're starting in a few days. And yeah, it's going to be crazy. So check that out. Sorry, my voice is a little tired. Just been a lot of stuff going on. All right, so now we're going to talk about the two-handed backhand. So we did, I think, 10 tip videos on this yesterday, and there's been a bunch of discussion on how do you hit a better two-handed backhand, especially as it relates to the drive. So people want to have a good two-handed backhand drive. And real quick, I mean, one of the big advantages of having a good two-handed backhand drive is that you do not have to run around it to a forehand. And if you trust your backhand drive, then if it comes to your left side, instead of running around it and then creating all that extra space, taking away some of your own time, you can kind of just stand there, hit the two-handed backhand drive, and then set yourself up for another ball where, let's say, you hit a good two-handed backhand drive, you want to follow it in a little bit, and then you can crush the next one. But if you had to run around it and hit a forehand, there's all that extra space for your opponent to hit the ball into, and it can take some of your own time away, give some time to your opponents. So having a two-handed backhand drive that you can rely on, super, super helpful. It also helps with your backhand speed up because they're very similar shots, obviously. So one thing with the two-handed backhand drive that I think is the most important thing, I think if you're not doing this thing on your two-handed backhand drive, it's going to be pretty much impossible to be consistent, and that is staying at the same height throughout the swing. So not just getting low, which is essentially important, but staying low while you make contact with the ball. So if you see players hitting two-handed backhand drives at the pro level, what you'll notice is instead of them hitting it and it coming up while they hit it, they are staying at the exact same height. So you kind of want to imagine that there's something an inch above your head and you do not want to touch it on the two-handed backhand drive. So I could not stress that anymore. Pretend like there's a ceiling right here and you don't want to touch it right while you're hitting that two-handed backhand drive. All right, so guys, James Ignatowicz here. I'm here to tell you about Selkirk's newest creation, the Vanguard Pro. It's got vibration, absorption, thermoform. It's got 4 layers of 12K raw carbon, and I've tried it. It's an awesome paddle. Selkirk's always coming out with the best new stuff, and I've always tried every single new paddle that they've come out with. That's just because I'm addicted to trying new stuff, and Selkirk's always, you know, surprising me with new great paddles. So if you're anything like me, or if you just want to use a great paddle that's got great vibration, absorption, extra power, it had great spin and great control, felt like it had pretty much everything I wanted, make sure to try it. Vanguard Pro, awesome paddle, give it a shot. Just for the split second that you're making contact with the ball. So while you're contacting the ball, stay down. Super, super important. And I see this all over the place. Players bending their knees with the two-handed backhand drive, right? They start bent and they think, okay, I bend my knees, I'm in a great spot. And then while they hit it, they're pulling up. And, you know, just like I have always said, if you bend your knees before making contact with the ball, and then while you're making contact, you're standing up straight again, you've basically done a squat for no reason. You've just bent and then come up, and you haven't done anything. So the reason you use your legs is so that you can have them engaged and bent while you're hitting a shot. So stay down. The other thing is, and I can go on and on about why it's important, but just we'll keep it moving. Just trust me. Stay down. Okay. The other thing is, with your right leg, or for me, it'd be my right leg, just your dominant leg, I would highly, highly recommend. Actually, I wouldn't recommend. I say you have to do this. Your front leg should be, or your dominant leg should be in front while you're hitting the ball. So instead of having an open stance, like let's say your feet are parallel to the net, you want your feet to be, you want your right leg to be in front of your left leg, your dominant leg to be in front of your non-dominant leg. So I'm just going to go with right and left so I don't confuse myself. If you're a lefty, I'm sure you're used to switching it around. So we're just going to go, it makes it so much easier if I could just say it from my own perspective. I'm a righty. So for me, my right leg's got to be in front of my left leg while I'm making contact with that ball. Because what that does is it makes it a lot easier for me to be oriented this way, having my shoulders turned this way, so that I have all this space to do this with my two-handed backhand. If I'm straight like this and my feet are facing you when I'm hitting the ball, I cannot turn my shoulders as much as you can see. And if you want a better visual representation of this, it's actually on my YouTube channel, James Ignatowicz YouTube, or on the coaching. I mean, the James Ignatowicz Coaching Instagram is going to have every single video you can possibly imagine. It's going to be too much. But if you face this way, not easy to unit turn. If you have one foot in front of the other, it becomes a lot easier to create space. You clear your own body, and that gives you a lot more leverage to hit the ball hard. Okay. So it's kind of like, for example, if you watch somebody play baseball and somebody's a big hitter and they want to crush a baseball, they don't just do this, right? But you'll see a lot of players on the pickleball court hit a backhand like this. Doesn't make sense. So you turn your shoulders, and then also while you're turning your shoulders, your right foot's in front of your left. Dominant foot is in front of the non-dominant foot. So that's point number two. Sorry, I kind of rambled there. Point number three is that it should feel more like a lefty forehand than anything. It's almost all coming from the left arm. We all know this. I'm going to make this one quick. But if you cannot hit a good lefty forehand, you will not have a good two-handed backhand, or at least a decent lefty forehand. You will have, I mean, you could maybe have an average two-handed backhand, but I can promise you that every pro, all the best players that have two-handed backhands, they can hit 5-0 level lefty forehands, including myself. So that's the best drill, I think, is just go out there and hit lefty forehands. Everybody tells you that, though, so we'll move on from that. And then a tip that not a lot of people will tell you is that your right hand, and this will make or break your backhand, believe it or not. I've seen a lot of, it wouldn't make or break mine. I could probably get away with it, right? I like my backhand. But most people, if you're doing this, it's not good. If your right hand is squeezing the paddle too hard, which I see way too often, you're going to be in trouble on a two-handed backhand. On a two-handed backhand, your right, just like we say, it's all coming from the left, right? So your right hand and right arm needs to just be barely touching it. Like on a 1 out of 10 scale, 1 is, you know, you could just, you're not even touching it, and 10 is like trying to choke something out. I'd say you should be at like a 2 or a 3 with your right hand in terms of how hard you are gripping the paddle. So do not grip the paddle too hard with your right. With your left or your non-dominant hand, you can grip it a little harder, especially on a drive. You want to hit it hard, but that right hand needs to be super loose because it's just there to guide the paddle. That's all that it's doing. So I can't stress that one enough. Almost exaggerated. This helped a guy that I was working with privately. If you guys want private coaching with me, you can hit me up on James Ignatowicz Coaching Instagram, but it's, I don't know. We have a waiting list. Actually, we might, let me know, you know, everything. It's expensive. We have a waiting list, but we can be flexible. Anyway, guy that I was working with privately, who, if you work with him privately, you know, you're going to get better. Just saying. Anyway, we were trying to get him to just exaggerate with the right hand, basically almost like we wanted it to fall off. And something that we did tell him, you know, let your right pinky even just come off the paddle. I wouldn't tell you to do this on a real two-handed backhand, but just practice that way where your right hand is, you're exaggerating. You're not even touching the paddle, basically almost with your right hand, and then hit the two-handed backhand. And then you can add a little grip pressure from there, but you kind of want to work backwards from there and then see what happens. That helps a lot. So let's see. What's another issue that people have on the two-handed backhand? Because there's a lot of issues. And you know, if anybody tells you that you should not have a two-handed backhand, or that a one-handed backhand is a better shot in pickleball, or that a one-handed backhand, you know, why are all these players, people ask, why, you know, I see it in the comments, why are players at the pro level using a two-handed backhand? It's just a paddle. You can use a one-handed backhand. No, just no. The answer is just no. The trend is your friend. 2 years ago, almost everybody was just using a one-handed backhand. Nowadays, I think out of the top 20 players in pro pickleball, 19 of them at some point will put two hands on the paddle with a two-handed backhand. The only guy that never will put two hands on the paddle is Tyson. That's it. Ben, like pretty much everybody, Ben obviously used to only use a one-handed backhand. He kind of sort of prefers one-handed backhand a lot of shots, but he's using it too now a lot too. I would probably need five podcasts to explain and go into depth on all the advantages of a two-handed backhand. We don't have that kind of time. Just trust me. It's helpful. Okay, let's see. What else? When you're hitting the two-handed backhand, you actually want to be coming around it a little bit. You want to be, and what that means is getting the outside of the ball. So if this is the ball, and we're speaking as a righty here, if this is the ball, you actually want to be getting a little bit of the left side of the ball, getting around the ball. It's not purely just topspin for me. There's actually just the tiniest bit of side spin because I'm getting around it. I think that actually helps me accelerate more and keep the ball in. So yeah, the topspin forehand, it's just topspin. The backhand, you're kind of coming around a little bit. You're kind of almost cupping it a little bit and getting the side of it. So those would be the main things, keeping the head still. Obviously, you have to keep the head still. And here's another interesting tip that actually helps me. We're just going all in on this two-handed backhand today. Another interesting tip that helps me is kind of sinking into the ball or leaning in to the ball with my right shoulder when I have the two-handed backhand. So I'll think of it, and if I'm having trouble, I kind of think of it like this. It helps keep me, it helps bring me back to having a great two-handed backhand, which I do. Sounded a little bit cocky, but it is my favorite shot. If I've got anything, I've got this, right? So I will like to lean into it a little bit instead of kind of pulling off of it and just doing this, especially when I'm making some mistakes. I will lean in with my right shoulder. So I'll almost kind of do this and think of it as like you're almost trying to hit the ball with your right shoulder. You're trying to, like, you know, lean in with your right shoulder. You don't want to be collapsing your body and bending downward like this, but that's a good way to get your momentum and body weight moving forward into the shot. So those are the main things. Another thing you could think of is hitting the ball with your shoulders. It's very similar, but kind of the same concept. Instead of just doing this, thinking hitting it with your shoulders. So your shoulders are hitting the ball. That's another great way to think of it. But yeah, that is pretty much it. I have nothing else for you guys today. And if you have any extra questions on the two-handed backhand, leave it in the comments. I'll probably reply. I've been replying to some videos, I'm replying to all the comments, some I'm not. I'm just extremely busy. I'm trying to play pro pickleball out here and do a podcast. So it's I've got a lot going on. But anyway, thanks for watching, guys. That's all we got.